welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Jessica with Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast, and I am here with the author of a book called The Possibilities, which was really cool. I'm going to invite her to introduce herself and the book in a second, but it's one of those books that I consider like almost like light sci-fi. It's like if you're not a sci-fi person, this book is a good place to start, but it's also not like you don't have to pitch it as science fiction. Because it's also kind of not as well. I don't know how else to really describe it. So how about you introduce yourself and tell us about the possibility instead?
I liked that way of describing it. I think it's funny because in some ways, of course, it is sci-fi because there are science fiction elements. But really, I think of the whole speculative part of the book as just like a metaphor to help me capture what it was like to become a mother. Like, it was just like, I was trying to figure out like, this is the trippiest psychological experience I've ever been through. It's nothing like anyone described to me. I need to capture this. And this metaphor that I use where it's like, basically like the simple idea is just that like, when a baby is born, the laws of physics briefly change so that parallel worlds can like they interact for a little while. And that's it. And like, that's all the sci-fi that there is in there. And it really just functions as this metaphor of like, that's kind of what it feels like. It feels like when a baby is born, like you're so aware of every possibility that might happen. Like, okay, yes, you know, the baby almost rolled off the changing table. They didn't, but they came so close. That's scary. You know, they almost sank their head under the bath. But they didn't, but they almost didn't. It feels like, and just like this new awareness and hypervigilance that's like a healthy part of parenthood, but doesn't feel so great when you're in it. Like this was, to me, this captured it. And so that is the sci-fi element. But more than anything, it's like, wow, what a weird experience.
So you're Yael Goldstein Love. going
oh, yes,
back.
I forgot that one part.
I don't even remember. I'm like, did I introduce myself? Turn the Page podcast. See, now this is like a parallel universe in my own mind. But yes, so this was a really cool book. I have to say, it reminded me very slightly of another book that I consider light sci-fi to people, just in the idea of certain, you know, like these parallel worlds called My Real Children by Jo Walton. I don't know if you ever read that. Mm-hmm. It's very different. But it did kind of capture the emotion that My Real Children captured for me in a different way, which is funny to me because I read that book when I was pregnant and I was like in the waiting room getting the early stages of my pregnancy checked out, which is also trippy. Why don't we circle back really quickly again? So tell us a little bit about just kind of like your background and how that sort of played into this book. And then we can talk about, you know, Hannah and Jack and Hannah 42 and all of the possibilities that are kind of brought up in the possibilities, because it was just like, it was a wild ride. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Oh, thank you so much. This is that is so lovely to hear. My background. Let's see. I mean, I'm a novelist. Unsurprisingly, we're here talking about my novel. You know, my background. I'm trying to think of like what is the relevant parts of my background for this book. I mean, one thing is I'm a doctoral student in clinical psychology. So I see. Psychotherapy patients. It's always very tricky because like I was like, I'm a psychotherapist, I have patients, but I think like that implies licensure. So I don't say that. I say this much longer thing instead. But I see psychotherapy patients. I see patients of all sorts, but I have a particular interest in the transition to motherhood. That's what my dissertation work was on the maternal anxiety. So this is a big interest of mine, but all of that stems from my own experience of becoming a mother, which was, I will put it lightly, not a good one. It was not a good one.
Well, yeah, no, I have 8-year-old twins, and I have to tell you, it was crazy. It really was. And there is a lot of expectation that is placed on a woman who is going to become a mother, and just the idea and ideal of motherhood in general, and then the reality of it. And, you know, you wonder sometimes, like, why nobody really talks about it? Like, why doesn't anybody talk about the fact that, like, you can have anxiety while you're pregnant? You know, it's not like this period of, you know, like when people talk about, like, PPD, for instance, it's always about, oh, this thing that happens after you give birth. Well, sometimes it begins when you're still pregnant. You know, sometimes it doesn't look the way that you think it's supposed to look. And then you wonder what's wrong with you. And, you know, that's kind of one of the reasons I wanted to ask a little bit about that background. But what interests me and what you just said is, so you went into that after your own experience.
Well, yeah, I did actually. I mean, so I already had a master's degree in psychology. And so I'd already been practicing some, but I was working with people with severe mental illness, so like a lot of psychosis. And it wasn't until after I had my own child and had this experience of like a really very hard postpartum experience, that I started to think like, this is interesting. Like, not only is, I mean, first of all, as you say, like, we don't do a good enough job talking about it. I mean, motherhood, I mean, parenthood in general, but I think motherhood in particular, like, it's something where it's like the most complicated thing we're asked to do with like no training. Like, you don't have an internship, you don't have an apprenticeship, you have nothing. It's just like, and that's not the way it's supposed to work, you know? We're just like, throw it in there. And what we don't realize is like, first of all, every aspect of how you were parented, of your own memories of childhood, things that are pre-verbal, because it's like, we didn't even speak, like they're all gonna come rushing back, sometimes when you're pregnant, like you were saying, sometimes not until the baby comes. So there is so, like, in addition to the actual difficulty of caring for this tiny human, there's like all your own personal stuff that comes up. And I think it's just, it's one of the richest possible times to like, look at yourself honestly and figure yourself out. And so that just became fascinating to me. And that's why I ended up, when I went back to school to get the doctorate, thinking like, yeah, this is what I want to focus on. I really agree. I mean, so my experience was not, I thought I had postpartum depression initially, and then realized that that was not what I had. So my son, so the beginning of the book where the child, like, it's not clear if the child's gonna live or die. That was my birth. Like, that scene is my birth scene. My son, they couldn't tell me for over an hour, actually, whether he had lived or died. So I was just lying in this recovery room, having no idea if this child had lived or died. And I had really a doozy of a postpartum experience as a result. Like, I just, in retrospect, I now know that I was having post-traumatic stress reactions, and I was having, like, you know, avoidance and re-experiencing all sorts of things, but I didn't know at the time what was going on. And I knew about postpartum depression, I knew about postpartum anxiety, and I had been trained as a therapist by that point, but I knew nothing really about the traumas. It's like there's so many forms of suffering that can happen in that period, and like, even when we think we're sort of doing a better job of talking about some of them, we're not allowing for the full spectrum of them.
For sure. And this was just a really interesting way of exploring that, you know. So Hannah has her son, but like in the very beginning of the book, it's almost like a cold open. Like, she had, like, okay, she's having this kid, and you are not sure whether this child lives or dies, but then she has this kid, she has Jack, but she doesn't have her husband anymore, not because he passed, but because he decided he's gonna check out. He's like, you're not the same person I married, but she has Jack, and Jack kind of begins to blink in and out of existence is the only way I could really describe it. And with that, like, the possibilities of what could or could not happen, both in with Hannah as a mother and Hannah's marriage with Jack, just kind of start to sort of swirl around each other. And without, I really don't want to give too much away, but there are different versions of Hannah out there that we find out, one of which, and I really loved this, is Hannah 42, which is a reference. And immediately I'm like, well, that's a reference to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is always appreciated. And I loved that. But, you know, so somebody else interacts with the Hannah that we're dealing with, who knows a different Hannah, who that person, and I don't want to, I'm being vague on purpose, because I really, really, really don't want to give this part away, because I feel like it's a big spoiler, who interacts with this different Hannah, who calls herself Hannah 42. And you learn a little bit about what her life is like and what her situation was like. But it was just a really good, you know, it's a good take on the whole sliding doors type of world, where, you know, the difference is that in this situation, this isn't even so much about like the choices you're making. This is about the way the world seems to happen sometimes. Sometimes babies don't make it, and sometimes they do, or sometimes the mother doesn't make it, or sometimes, you know, it could, you could have had that half second where the baby rolled off the changing table. I mean, man, you know, I very much remember one of my sons rolling off the couch, and kind of, you know, I had two at the same time, like grabbing them and then texting my husband, and I'm like, oh my God, he almost rolled off the couch. And my husband's like, well, why didn't you catch him? I'm like, I did, but I was with your other son and I'm by myself. My husband's a wonderful person, but sometimes you have to remind him of how things are. But, you know, like you never know. And I think that that plays into this anxiety and this whole whirlwind. And also just that you're no longer in, like, your life is, and I don't mean this as a negative, it's not your life anymore, because it changes to a different life. You know, it's one where your priorities are different. Your wire, I said to people all the time, like being, like having my kids rewired my body. And I don't know if it's because they were twins specifically. I just think it's, I had no frame of reference because I haven't had anything but twins and I never will. But, you know, I think that it does, it rewires your body. It reprograms your brain. You know, and you're not the same. And at the time, I know I considered it, and this is again, and it felt very negative, you know, sorry, boys, if you're listening to this years later, I love you very much. And obviously it all worked out well, but it was almost like this death of self. Yeah. Right. Really? And right. And you're mourning being able to just like leave your house, you know, you're mourning being, you know, without like carrying a million things with you. You're mourning being able to go on a date without, you know, I remember like talking to a friend of mine, you know, and she and her wife were talking, oh, it's so hard for us to leave the house. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. And she's like, yeah, you know, sometimes we're just tired. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm not trying to minimize, I promise you. It's just like, we have to pay money to leave our house without our kids. Like, but also like, I need to have like money to do that. So it's, that freedom comes with like an emotional and a monetary cost. And it's just the weirdest thing, because everybody tells you this is the best. Oh my God. You know, everything is going to be shiny. And it's just not the way that it works in general. It doesn't mean that that can't happen. And it doesn't mean that some people don't have that. But I feel like the expectation kills it for so many people. And I wish we talked about it, because I think it would make that transition feel like less of a death.
I so agree. I mean, in some ways, I think that death is inevitable, like in the way that, you know, it's like there's no way around it. Like, I remember as you were speaking, I was having such a vivid memory of when my son was like maybe a couple of weeks old. I walked into my bedroom and I wasn't holding him, which was very rare at that point. I wasn't holding him, and I just burst out sobbing. And the thought that kept going through my head was, I used to be a person in this bedroom. and it was just like, I had this feeling of like, when I was in here, I could like lie down, I could read a novel, I could like, if I was tired, I could rest. Like, no longer, there was no longer that sense. And I think, you know, when you have a baby, there's a wonderful psychoanalyst named Gali Atlas, and she has this wonderful line where she says, having a child is a time of either breakdown or breakthrough. And she calls it, it's like this existential crisis where it's like, who are you? Like, you can no longer be the person you were. So are you going to have a breakdown and like not be able to figure out who you are anymore and be a little bit broken forever? Or are you going to have some sort of breakthrough and become like a different person? But either way, the old person's gone. Like, that ship has sailed. And so I think in some sense that there's no way around that. And also simultaneously, I think you're so right that given that inevitability, even if you're also elated, even if it's also a shiny, joyous, la 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 experience, as it is for some people, although I think it's never only that, it would help so much for us to talk about this honestly and say like, hey, nobody expects every marriage, for instance, to be the same. We know that every marriage is extremely different and often extremely difficult, even when it's also extremely wonderful. Same with this extremely, extremely complicated, intimate relationship, of course. And yet that's not how we speak about it. And so we come in thinking it's going to be the happiest time of our lives. And then we think something's wrong with us because it isn't.
Absolutely. No, for sure. And it is really interesting to me because I have seen a trend in books that, you know, where early parenthood and pregnancy are, you know, it is like horror, suspense, sci-fi. And, you know, somebody once said recently that like, in a way, pregnancy is body horror, and it's bizarre. I mean, really, like it is bizarre to, but when you look at it like that, yeah, like, you know, what other genre would you see other than like sci-fi horror, you know, like see a handprint pressing itself out of your body, or like, you know, you're sitting and you feel this thing and you're just like, oh, that's a head coming out of my, you know, it's a real weird physical and emotional experience. And, you know, even like just every period of motherhood thereafter, you know, you're discovering not only new things about your kid, but about yourself and how you react. And it puts your friendships to the test. It puts your marriage partnership to the test. And you know, this book was just so good. And like, there's so much more I want to talk about, but then I feel like if I do, it's going to tell people too much. And it's just sort of like a road that I feel like people really need to go on. So it's like, God, I don't know how else to say it. Like, yeah, it's about all the possibilities. And it's about a woman who just wants to her kid. Eventually the blinking in and out kind of comes to a stalemate and Jack's gone. And she needs to figure out why and what needs to be done if she wants to get her Jack back. And I say that just kind of leaving a crumb because there's a lot of context, to subtext to what I just said. I guess like one question I do have for you is, are you a fan of science fiction? Or yeah, you are. I mean, if you're going to put a Douglas Adams quote in there, you've got to be. So talk a little bit about that, like what you like.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like a sort of, I feel like I'm not like a hardcore sci-fi person. Like, I cannot hang with the real people. But I love sci-fi. I mean, Octavia Butler is like one of my favorite, just like all-time favorite writers. Just like, I reread her and I reread her and I reread her. But what I really love in sci-fi is exactly the kind of thing that I'm trying to do here, where it's like, you take something not, that's not realistic. You change the laws of nature a little bit to get at greater realism, which is exactly what I think Octavia Butler does a lot. You know, it's like you're trying to sort of show us something real and true about our actual world, whether it's the psychology or the societal or you know, something about our real world that could only be captured by tweaking reality. And that's what I love in sci-fi. And it's funny, I mean, when you were talking about the horror, I mean, I love horror a lot as well. And actually for me, a huge turning point in my own postpartum experience was I was in a state of like such chaos, like just dark chaos and not understanding what was happening. And one of the worst parts of it was that I could not read novels. Like I thought like, okay, here, I'm trapped on this glider feeding this baby. I'm not kidding you. At every moment this kid was awake, he was eating. And so it's like, here I am, like I should be reading novels. That's what I love to do. But I could not, nothing could hold my attention until somebody recommended Victor Laval's The Changeling. Have you read this book?
I love that book.
I love everything he wrote, but that book, it was a lifeline because it held my interest. And so I wasn't alone in the long empty night when I'm awake with this kid. But also it gave me this completely different sense of like how I could think about my own experience. Like, it was like horror, like the genre of horror is a way to make sense of what is happening to you. And it's, I mean, this was like many months before I even started thinking about the book. This was just like the genre for my own internal narration. And it was truly life-saving. It really was.
It's funny because for me, I got like, I've always liked horror, but like I got really, really into it during the pandemic. And, you know, it's so funny. It's like people either tell me, oh, it was romance or it was horror suspense. And I think that both of those things have like this emotional, physical thing that they make you react to, you know, it's a real, like both of those things are very deep emotional experiences. And that is what parenthood is. And that is what, you know, all of that is.
Yeah, that's really well said. You're right. That's so interesting that during the pandemic, that's what could keep your interest. And I think I think that you're right that maybe in these periods where things are so intense, that those are times when we gravitate toward those genres where the writing and the feelings are so intense right on the surface. Yeah.
Just like a few other things. So the relationships, you know, that there's like, I think like there's a bunch of relationships in the possibilities. There's Hannah's relationship with her estranged husband, Hannah's relationship with her therapist, which was very interesting. And then there's like her own mother, who's sort of like, again, this is a situation where if I talk too much about it, it's going to give too much away, but her own mother, who's a bit of a mystery. And then sort of these, like, I don't know how to describe them other than, you know, they're like travelers who sort of are part of her life without her realizing it. How did all of the characters and their relationships kind of grow together?
What a good question. That's such an interesting question. I mean, I think that they all, in a way, grew separately. I mean, I always start with my main character and just sort of thinking about who is this? Who is this? And why are we entering their life right now? You know, and so in trying to think about like, why is this story happening right now? The relationship with her husband felt like an incredibly important part of that. I really, you know, the sense of like, he's not in this with me, you know, like the hard time I'm having adjusting to motherhood has somehow alienated the one person who could have been in this with me. And so now I'm completely alone in this. And that, you know, that felt very important to me, to sort of, to get at how lonely it can feel, even when the relationship is going well. How, I mean, it's kind of like what you were describing, you know, when you're, when one of your kids falls off the couch and you have to remind your husband, like, yeah, I had the other one. Like,
yes. Yeah. And I think like, and that is kind of a good point there, you know, that you just said. It is very isolating. It is one of the most like feeling alone with another person. But this is the person you've grown in your body, or you know, if you've adopted, you know, like that you've been waiting for, you know, and like you're supposed to feel like you're just connected to everything. And even if you feel this intense connection to your child, you know, even feeling an intense connection to your child, somehow you're isolated, and it just does not make any sense. And it's so hard to explain.
Yeah. Right, because you're never alone. I mean, it feels like a paradox. On the one hand, you're never alone. On the other hand, you're always lonely. And it's true. It's like you love, you know, no matter how much you might love this kid and love time spent with the kid, it's not an equal. I mean, even though it's like, my son is 6 now, and like, I don't feel lonely with him anymore because he's someone I can talk to, and he cracks jokes, and it's another mind. But like another infant, that is not another human mind in a recognizable way. That is an alien mind, and it is very interesting, but it does not make you not alone. And actually that feeling, I mean, so in the book, her mom's group is a very important aspect of the book. And that feeling, every time she remembers she has her mom's group in the book, she's sort of like struck with such pleasure. She's like, oh my gosh, there's a place I can go to, a place with people who can talk. And for me, like, every time I would remember I had my mom's group, I would have like, oh my God, there's a place where other people can talk and I can talk and they can talk back to me. And just like that relief from the loneliness was huge. And so that was the other, you know, so those relationships, both of those relationships just grew from like trying to capture, what is this aspect of motherhood, early motherhood I'm trying to get to? And then the relationship with her own mother, and again, I'll be cagey like you are without trying to give too much away, but, you know, I think so much when we have a child, we have to also, among the many other things we have to renegotiate, is who we are as someone else's child. Like, I'm a mother. I also have to think about myself as a daughter now in ways that I hadn't. Like, how did my mother mother me? Am I in competition with her? Do I want to emulate her? Am I like looking at how I'm doing this differently and thinking like, why didn't you do that? You know, like there's so many complicated things. And so I think that, you know, I really wanted to get at how mothering our own children really requires this reckoning with our own experience of being mothered. And again, that, you know, it all became a metaphor for that.
For sure, man. I just love this book so much. And I really, you know, again, this is like, it skirts the line of so many things. It is definitely a book for a book club, because I do feel like it's very discussable. You know, I mean, most books are very discussable, but I feel like this is one where it's not, you know, it's a very different type of book. Okay. So we're not talking like literary fiction, you know, discuss it, but this is it's discussable, and it's fun because it has that sci-fi aspect of it. And you know, there's just so much there, but you know, it's also just a fun read, and it's very, you know, it feels very much like a trip, very much like motherhood does. And you're really wondering, you know, about all of these different worlds and, you know, whether or not, you know, Hannah's going to be find the be reunited, or it's a really, really good book. And I just want to thank you so much for writing it and for chatting with us about it.
Thank you. I so appreciate you having me. And this has been such a joy.
So The Possibilities comes out the end of July. So by the time this airs, it will be out. I believe we are airing it on Pub Week, which is Fabulous. So go check it out. Really check it out of your local library, your favorite bookshop. Really, it's a really, really good book. Whether or not genre fiction is your thing, this book is. That's my blurb for it.
Can I put that on everything? I love it.
Yes, do it. All right. So once again, this is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. Our guest today was
Yael Goldstein Love.
And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode. Thank you.